Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This is a beautiful journey that we get to experience. Every year we get to experience this sort of lead up into Christmas. And it's so much more than shopping and getting stuck in Mission Valley. It's so much more than that. And we can choose whether or not we can be excited about it or just be bummed out that we can't find where we parked our car outside of Macy's. We can choose how to be around this. Now, not everyone gets to sort of choose about this, and I'm talking about our biblical characters, right? I mean, I suppose in many ways Mary and Joseph sort of made their own choices, but in many ways they were chosen and had to figure out how to deal with some of this stuff. And the music that we've experienced so beautifully today has helped us see a little bit how Mary, who was chosen, had to respond in that beautiful way. Here I am, God. I'm here to respond to you, to do as you call me to do. Joseph, too, had a choice whether or not he might continue to be in a relationship with Mary or to walk away. A difficult choice, especially with the cultural laws of the time. You know, for Mary to be pregnant out of wedlock, she risked death. This is the cold-hearted reality that some of these characters in our story face. We can choose to look toward this season with joy and with hope. We can choose to look toward this as an expression of God's deep and abiding and infinite love. And for many of us, it's a journey. We have to get ourselves into the Spirit. And so that's part of what we're talking about today. Not only are we experiencing this journey in a musical way, we're experiencing this this journey in an emotional way. I think music has a tendency to invoke so many beautiful and sometimes challenging emotions in us. And as we journey towards Christmas Day, the time that we celebrate the birth of the Christ, we too might be experiencing an emotional and spiritual journey. And it's a journey that I think parallels the journey that some of these faithful people in our Bible stories experienced as well. I want to start with a map. We have a map of first century Palestine. And if you see up, I brought a laser pointer today. If you see up there near the top, there's a Galilee. And right down below Galilee, you'll see the little town of Nazareth. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to focus down here around the area of Jerusalem. And let's move to the next photo because we zoomed in a little bit. So we see Jerusalem down here at the bottom, but also this little town of Ein Kerem. And we're going to talk about Ein Kerem. But first, I want to start with our scripture. This is continuing the beautiful narrative out of Luke of our Christmas story, and it starts in the first chapter with verse 39. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, this is after Mary has discovered that she's pregnant and has had that faithful response of, all right, God, I'm going to do what it is that you're asking me to do. Now, let's move forward to the next slide again, and we've seen this before, but again, this is where Ein Kerem is. So understand that Mary is traveling from Nazareth all the way down through Samaria, probably traveling with a group of companions. See, as a young single woman, she probably wouldn't travel alone. This is a 9-day walk, right? She can't just get in a Prius, okay? So this is a 9-day walk. So she probably traveled with some folks on this 9-day walk, probably folks who were going to Jerusalem and then peeled off to Ein Kerem, which is probably less than an hour's walk from Jerusalem, to visit someone who was important to her. Now, I want to give you a little bit about, like, what's Ein Kerem? What's this city? We have a picture of present-day Ein Kerem. Here it is in all its sort of cityness. And then we, if we move to the next story, there's a church called the Church of the Visitation, and this is a church that's placed on the site where many think that that Mary greeted Elizabeth. There's another area in town. It's the Church of John the Baptist, and it's a church that celebrates John the Baptist, and it's thought that this might be the place where John the Baptist was born. So this is the importance of this city in Qadem. Okay, so now let's talk for a second about why is it that Mary might choose to visit Elizabeth. Now, we read in our sacred text that Elizabeth is a relative, and often in our tradition we'll assign their cousins. That's what we'll very often say. It's not really clear that they're cousins. Elizabeth could be an aunt to Mary, could be a great aunt. There seems to be a pretty significant age difference, so it's interesting that they're both pregnant at the same time. Mary got pregnant later than Elizabeth did. And if you know the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah's pregnancy, you may know that Zechariah is a priest, probably in Jerusalem, and he got the news that his wife would be pregnant. And recognizing that they were a little bit older than many folks who got pregnant in the time, Zechariah did the sensible thing. He laughed at God. To which God said, all right, you be quiet. Now, I know as a parent, sometimes I say that to my children. I also know as a husband and a father that the idea of a spouse having to be silent while the other spouse is pregnant might not be a bad thing. I know many times when my wife was pregnant, I wished that I'd been silent. In any case, this is the story that may be familiar to us. This is Elizabeth and Zechariah, who are the parents to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who would be a relative of Jesus, who would be the one who comes before, proclaiming even in the wilderness, I come to prepare a way for another. Mary chooses this relative of hers, Elizabeth, perhaps indicative of some rich relationship, perhaps a mentoring relationship between the two. She goes and seeks out a woman, and it's interesting that it's a woman who's not her mother. And yet I've known many people who find that it's easier to talk about different things with a mentor who may not be their parent. And I wonder if this is why Mary chose to spend this time with Elizabeth. Now, we also know that Elizabeth being pregnant and at a later age may have needed some additional care, and Mary likely was there also to offer some of that care. And how did Elizabeth respond when she saw Mary that first time? Well, it's interesting, and we'll read it in our Bibles here. Continuing with verse 41, I believe. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I could be wrong about this, but I think Elizabeth is the first one to identify Jesus as Lord. As soon as I heard your greeting, she continues, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made in her. You notice that in this text, Elizabeth calls Mary blessed a number of times. But I think we need to think about what that word blessed might mean. And I sort of equated a little bit as we talked with the children about joy. See, I think joy and happiness are different. And I think blessed is a different thing than we often think about, right? Because sometimes we can think about blessing as, oh my gosh, my bank account's really full. Or I have food in my refrigerator or pantry. Or I got the promotion that I wanted at work. And I'm not sure that's necessarily how we might wish to define blessing. I'm not sure that's how we might wish to define something like joy. Instead, I wonder if we might define those kinds of things as faithfulness, that we are responding to our Creator's call. If we might identify that idea of blessing as being given the strength to face anything that challenges us. I wonder if we might define blessing and joy as the opportunity to live into a call that makes this world a better place. I wonder if we might define them in this way. Now, later in the scripture, in fact, immediately after, Mary's response to hearing these words of blessing is something that we call the Magnificat, right? Which is Latin for magnify or praise. And while, you know, I'm not sure it fits in the ancient Greek translation, I wonder if we might look at that word magnify. I will magnify the Lord. I will magnify my God. And I wonder if we might look at that particular word in a way that is could be unique to our English language. Because when we think about the word magnify, we might think of it as to make something bigger. I'm not sure we can make God any bigger. But I wonder if we can look at magnify as something that makes something easier to see. How might we, as people of faith, make the love of our God and our Creator easier for people to see? This, I believe, might be our call as people of faith. To help the people in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our families, to help them be able to see the love of our Creator even more clearly. There are a number of ways that we can do this in our relationships, and I invite you to think about who might be a mentor in your life or who you might be a mentor for. Another way to see that, to say that, might be, who is your Elizabeth? Who is your Mary? Who is your Elizabeth? Who is someone who has mentored you in your life through that relationship that you have seen more clearly the love of God? Who in your life might be your Mary? Someone that you have been a mentor for. Someone who you have tried to live into a mentoring relationship to show more clearly the love of God. As we move further through this holiday season, this Christmas season, as we move more fully toward Christmas in the presence of Christ, not only in the world, but in our hearts, let us seek out ways that we might make the love of our God and Creator even more visible, even more clear, even more present. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we come to you with full hearts. We are grateful for the gifts that have been given that aid us in our journey toward Christmas and the Christ. Help us to remember the relationships that have brought us in the world this far, those who have mentored us and guided us, and help us to be mentors and guides to others, so that we might magnify you, that we might make your love even more visible and plain. We pray in the name of the Christ, whose presence we await. Amen. Friends, this has been a beautiful celebration. I believe a prayerful celebration. I think music is a beautiful form of prayer. And so I invite you now as we turn to a time of prayer. Holy and gracious Creator, we center ourselves on you in this celebratory time, knowing that even as we celebrate the coming of the Christ, that this is a time where not all are in a place of joy. And then we know that we can turn to you in hope. And so we come to you this day, lifting up the prayers of your people, knowing that even where it is difficult to experience joy, where it's difficult to experience happiness, we might be called into a time of hope. God, we bring these things to you and any that have been left unsaid, knowing that your good work is already begun. And so we share together in the prayer that your Son has taught us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.